Prisoner at the bar, we have heard the evidence against you. The incident with the glue and the banana has been verified by the entire Luton Girls Choir. There is far too much of this sort of thing going on, far too much. I did it myself only last Tuesday. The matter of the rubber duck and the shooting stick is even more serious. Indeed, it was some hours before traffic in Oxford Street returned to normal. Have you anything to say before I pronounce the sentence?
Sentence? What sentence?
This sentence. Ladies and gentlemen, it's round the horn!
Hello and welcome to the show. And our first, a police message to all motorists turning south off the coast road at Brighton. Don't do it, you'll get wet. All right, now then, your letters. Worried Green Eyes of Aldershot writes in with a question about see-through blouses. Well, there are many ways of looking at these. I personally prefer the sidelong glance, but I see no reason why you shouldn't wear one, Worried Green Eyes, providing the other chaps in your barrack room don't object. Mr. J.D. of Kilburn writes to me on Indian bus conductors' turbans, and I do wish he'd use notepaper. Couldn't read a thing.
Forward, Smith.
Sir, we continue our Movie Go Wrong series with yet another film adaptation. Lately, the hard-bitten Private Eye story is making a comeback, and we've decided to put a stop to it. Pornographic Productions proudly, indeed brazenly, present Big Broads Don't Squeal. Except for Emily Bulstrode, but that's another story. And a much more interesting one, if you ask me.
Oh, shut up, Smith. My name is Hank Fist, a private detective. I'm the biggest gumshoe in town. More of a gum boot, really. I hang out in downtown Chicago, but that's also another story. July 15. It's 2 a.m. in my office. It's 5:30 everywhere else. But my clock has stopped. The door opens and someone comes in. It's a scruffy old man in a baggy blue suit.
Nelson D. Nudge, feller, millionaire. I'm looking for a private detective, and you were recommended.
I was cautious. Well, I had to be. Come in and sit down, drink.
Well?
I uncorked the bottle of bourbon and gave him two fingers.
And the same to you. Now listen, Mr. Fist. This is an important assignment. I want you to put a tail on my wife.
Well, if you think she won't mind.
I suspect she is planning to kill me. I'm not certain, but it's just little things. Like this morning, she ran over me in the car 3 times.
And this made you suspicious?
A little. I was in the living room.
I wondered whether to take the case. He saw my indecision and pushed a handful of green stuff across the desk. It was broccoli. I'll do it.
Good!
I paused only to strap on my gat. Oh. Well, my doctor advises it. And headed uptown. ...7 p.m. Big Nick's Uptown Dive. I'm at the bar looking round at the worn carpet and the peeling stucco. That's Ethel Stucco, the stripper. She's been dancing in Big Nick's for years. I watch her and wonder if she'll come across. She usually does.
Hi there, Curly.
Well, this wasn't called some years ago.
Listen, Hank, I gotta tell you something. Somebody's out to get you. His name is... Gasp! Splutter choke.
She stiffened, one eye glazed over, then the other. Sort of double glazing.
Hank, I've had it. I've had it.
Well, most of us have at one time or another. She was dead. I poured myself a bourbon and took a slug. They'd run out of crisps and peanuts. Suddenly something hard and cold was pressed into my back.
Don't move. This ain't no banana. Come on, up with them.
I raised my eyebrows.
Not your eyebrows, you fool. Your hands, you know who I am. I'm Pretty Boy O'Pratey. And Big Nick wants to see you.
At this point, the scene shifts to the penthouse of Big Nick, gangling, gangland, gambler. By Jove, I've been dreading that.
I am Big Nick, in a long black overcoat and a couple of hoods on either side.
Nice.
In Chicago, I am known as the kink of the underworld.
Well, that can't be right.
No, it ain't, but I blame the environment. Listen, you private dicks make me sick. I'm a big man around these parts.
Yeah, or a big man around those parts, too.
Shut up! One more crack and Pretty Boy here will put the high heel shoe in.
Just give me 5 minutes alone with him, boss. I've got ways of my own.
It was now or never. I dived for the light switch, fumbling for my gat, skillfully portrayed. Skillfully portrayed by Douglas Smith.
Meow, meow, sir.
Meow? I said gat, Smith. Gat, it's obsolete American slang for gun.
Oh, I thought it was a misprint. Oh. Well, I've rehearsed it all week. You can't expect me to change characterization now, sir.
Oh, very well. I ducked through the window and onto the fire escape. I fired twice.
Meow, meow.
This is humiliating. I fired again. The bullet ricocheted.
Meow, meow.
There he is, boss. He's hiding behind the dustbin. He's making a break for it. Now he's making a clutch and an accelerator. He's driving away in it.
There was no time to waste. We were 5 pages into the sketch and nothing had happened. I drove straight to the Nudgerfeller estate. There was a blonde dame beside the swimming pool. I flashed my credentials at her. She looked interested.
Oh, so you're Hank Fist. I'm Lavinia Nudgerfeller. Young, vibrant, alive. My husband's 60 and I'm 23. 23.
A remarkably thin woman.
Yeah, I'll give it to you straight, Hank.
You haven't got much choice, have you?
Somebody's out to get you, and I know who. His name is... Choke, splutter, gasp.
She went rigid, then teetered on the edge of the swimming pool and began to topple.
If I were a rich man...
She'd been shot by a .22 sound effects man fitted with a silencer. Suddenly, Nelson D. Nudgerfeller stepped out of the shadows.
My wife has been shot. The woman to whom all this wealth really belonged until her death, when it all passed to me, and who was about to change her will in favor of somebody else, and whom I only married so I could get my hands on her vast resources.
And you can't put it more crudely than that.
Should have seen the original version.
Somebody shot her. It was you. You. Fortunately, I phoned the police half an hour ago, just on the off chance.
The scene changes to the 57th Precinct House. Lieutenant Capelli of the Chicago Police is talking. He's tough, hard-bitten, and 3 feet tall. He's not much cop.
Okay, Buster, it's the chair for you this time. The chair, you understand?
Oh, thank you. I sat down.
Right, now this time we got you, Hanky.
You always call me that mainly because I got up his nose.
Okay, the way I see it is this. There's somebody out to get you, and his name is...
He began to sag and fell flat, not unlike this plot. There were two small round holes in his head.
They're my nostrils.
Oh, yeah. Well, above them, a bullet wound. I knew that whoever was after me wasn't far away, but who was it, and why was he after
me? It's me, I admit it.
You, Williams?
Who else? I'm sick of playing second fiddle. Yes. If I can get rid of you, I'll be the star of this show. Okay. We can change the title. It'll be Round the Williams. Yes, I can get all the laughs. Hello, and welcome to the show, I'll say. First a warning, or an apology, or answer some stupid competition that ever took place. Anyone can do that rubbish. Anyone can do it.
All right, I heard you. You leave me no choice. Forward, Smith.
Sir. Meow, meow.
Ah! He's got me. He's got me.
And he's welcome to you, Williams.
Oh, I've been killed by a pussy.
And now a tribute to the film stars and the films they made way back in the 30s and 40s that even today are remembered by anyone anywhere who has a television set.
Thank you very much for my friend Irma.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks to Errol Flynn for winning Burma.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much to Elisha Cook.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks to John Wayne for saving Tobruk.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much for Diana Dawes.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much.
Playing a selection of various ladies.
Thank you very, very much.
There was no one who was loonier than the Hunchback of Notre Dame, as played by Mortal Lon Chaney Junior.
Thank you very much for Sonia Heaney.
Thank you very much.
But we can't say the same for Michael Greene.
Thank you very, very much.
Lauren Bacall, Essex Zackall.
Fastest gun singing nun.
Gloria Swanson, Samuel Bronson.
Thelma Ritter, my friend Flicker.
Thank you very much.
You film stars, you do things to me. Oscar and Mulker and Regis too.
Thank you very much for Charlton Heston.
Thank you very much.
And Marlon Brando with his vest on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for Miss Hayley Mills.
Thank you very, very, very
much.
And now for children of all ages, it's Roaring Boring Radio Balls Pond Road.
Hi, folks. It seems there's this big fire, and the first fireman up the ladder saw this other one behind him. He said, "Where are you from?" And the other one said, "Ghana." And the first fireman said, "That's funny. The Trinidad Brigade haven't arrived yet." No? Oh. Well, can't be bad. Well, not as bad as last week.
And now we have with us our very own Good Food Spy, Epicurious. His epi isn't what it was, but he's still as curious as ever.
This week I supped at the Silver Slipper in Cirencester. Sad to say, there was no wine list, since the establishment had no licence. It was dry.
Was being the operative word.
Yes. The silver side, with its succulent sauces, surpassed expectations. The side dishes were superb. My only criticism concerns the serviettes. They were damp.
And what about the service?
Simply splendid. As a matter of fact, one serving wench was so inspired by me, and I by her, that I took her some nasturtiums from a nearby vase and gave her a spray.
Oh, wonderful gesture.
Yes, wasn't it? Later, I suggested that assignation at some suitable spot, and I started to whisper endearments into her shell-like.
Yes, and how do you get on?
Disappointing. Singularly disappointing. For some strange reason, she refused to remove her Macintosh.
Very, very tired, wasn't it? Anyway, now to the part of the show where people phone in to discuss their problems and air their views. Ah, here's the first call now. Hello?
Hello, my friend and I are interested in Kenneth Williams. We don't have the TV and we don't know what he looks like. Could you give us a description?
Yes, well, he's about 7 hands high. Boyish face, fresh complexion, flaring nostrils, smouldering eyes and smoking ears.
And how does he dress?
In the dark, from the look of him. Oh, I see what you mean. Well, today he's wearing a beautiful grey lounge suit with a matching cardigan, a light blue shirt. It's a junior miss size. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Hold on to him, sir. Fits the description we have. We'll send a squad car round in no time.
Ah, there's my other phone.
Mr. Horn?
Yes?
I have a question on etiquette. Mm-hmm. What is the correct mode of address for a High Court judge? Is it Your Grace, Your Excellency, Your Eminence, or Your Worship?
Well, the correct way to address a High Court judge is Milud.
Thanks. Oh, you, Milud, get out of bed and get off home!
Hello? Ah, hello, Mr. Grundfutter. Yes, I'll pass your message on to Miss Marsden. Was there anything else?
Yes. On your program, you poke the finger of scoff at a certain minority group of which I am an esteemed member.
Oh, what group is that?
Dirty old men. I am a dirty old man of many years standing and...
You're standing and what?
Peering through keyholes. It's not fair to make fun of us, Mr. Horn. And speaking as a dirty old man, it hurts me.
Well, well, if it hurts you, give it up. And that's all. That's all the phone calls we have time for this week. But if you've got something you feel strongly about and want to get it out in the open...
Well, I have.
Well, I advise you to wait till the warmer weather. Now then, here to give you her impressions of London as a young visitor from the Antipodes, Miss Judy Coolibar.
Good on you, Bluey. Keep your hands to yourself.
I beg your pardon?
Just a friendly warning. I know you, Pommies, you're sex mad. For all I know, you might have enticed me here on a pretext. Just so you can do unspeakable things to me.
No, I wouldn't dream of it.
You're a raving fairy or something?
Oh.
Ah, Bluey, I've noticed the men over here. They all avoid looking at me. It shows what's on the mind. One fella on the tube sat opposite. He didn't look at me for nearly half an hour, the dirty swine. In the end, I had to swipe him with my tucker bag.
Yes. Yes, well, we're not all like that.
No?
No, I haven't got tucker bags, for one thing.
No, Bluey. What about all those obscene statues you got in England, eh? I mean, that little fella in Piccadilly Circus, huh? You seen that thing? He's pointing down Shaftesbury Avenue.
His burn arrow?
Call it what you like. It's disgusting.
Oh, come, come. It's one of our finest statues. Stands on a plinth of the best quality English stone. What you might call pommy granite.
You can laugh,
Oh, thank
Bluey.
You, I was, yes.
You're all sex mad over here, and that's a fact. That's all you think about. Any minute now, and you'll drag me behind that curtain, and we all know what that means.
I'll do no such thing.
Oh, well, how about that curtain?
No, 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 I don't think so. Well, why not go and have a word with Douglas Smith? I'm sure he must fancy you. He hasn't looked at you once.
That lousy pommy got a lot of plums in his mouth.
And there she goes with her didgeridoo at the ready. Well, now. Here is a man who's thrown off his trammels. He says they were binding him under the cord wangle. Rambling Sid Rumpo.
Hello, me dearios. Since we last met, I've had a bogle in me gander bag, and I've come up with this astounding air fit to titillate your lummox.
Oh, well, my lummox is sort of self-titillating, but thank you for the offer.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, it's a Somerset ditty, and goes after this fashion, sprightly, but abysmally. On yonder hill there stands a mooley. What it is I do not know. With my grunge I'll lunge that mooley. Lunge it till its nadgers glow. Oh, no, John, no, John, no. Madam, through your fair cord wangle, I do see your wogglers show. With this lurker I would trust you. Will you answer yes? And she answers, oh, no, John, no, John, no, John, no. At least not while I'm carving the joint. So he offers her fine things to make her change her mind as follows. I will give you fine-plucked grummets, wordle you from head to toe. All I ask is one quick bogle. Fudge my bangers, then I'll... Again, she says, oh, no, John, no, John, no, John, no. Well, it's Lent, you say. Which, of course, thoroughly disgruntles him, so he sings, you've turned down my fine-plucked grummets. You've refused to wordle-o. Would you spurn my new cord wangle, though it be as pure as snow? And with a tear in her posset and a lump in her artifacts, she softens and capitulates, singing,
oh, yes, John, yes, John, yes, John.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Rambling Sid Rumpo. Keep up the bad work. Now, the other day, it was Douglas Smith's birthday, his official birthday, of course. And I felt I couldn't let the occasion pass without getting him a little memento, and it's difficult to know what to get him. I mean, what can you give a man who's got nothing? But I was in the King's Road, Chelsea, and a shop caught my eye. It was called Bona Gift Boutique. And a sign on the window said, trawl round, nanty obligation to buy. So I popped in. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian and this is my friend Sandy.
Oh! Oh, hello! Oh! Oh, hello, Mr. Horn. How nice to vard your dolly old eek again.
Thank you.
Popped in to pick up a knick-knack.
Yes, I want something for a friend.
Friend?
Yeah, well, we'd have to see him before we could make an offer.
Yes.
How about it? It's our announcer, Douglas Smith.
Oh, he won the chemist shop next door. Yes, they're doing a special offer on the rejuvenation tablets this week. Yes, nice.
We specialise in your actual prezzies for the discerning customer.
Quite so. Our motto is, if you don't see it, ask for it. Do you have a ramage, Mr. Owen? Jewel will follow you round and make suggestions. Won't you, Jewel?
Gladly. How does your friend feel about a cologne?
They have a great range of your He-Man Butch cologne.
Have you tried Mon Rave?
Mon Rave. That's your actual French. It means my rave.
I don't know.
Then there's Un Nuit de Grimsby.
Or the Un Nuit de Tangier?
Yes, that's a night in Tangiers. Similar to a night in Grimsby, only you meet more interesting people.
Well, no, I don't think so. Knowing Douglas, I think 4 days in Harrogate is about as much as he could take. Look, I'm sorry if I'm being a nuisance.
Oh, nanty-nuisance, nanty-nuisance, Mr. Horn. Your every whim is our desire.
Nor vice versa.
How about a nice piece of poker work?
We've got a good range of mottos, haven't we? Yes. Look, here's a nice one.
Bless this lattie. No, I'm not keen.
Well, what about this one then? Be it never so naff, there's no place like home. Look, ever so nice over Mr. Smith's four posts.
Well, you know, I don't think they're allowed any personal belongings in the rooms or anything sharp, you know. Just a wash hand stand and a mother of pearl throat spray with a picture of John Snag on it.
Something personal like cufflinks. Oh, yeah, this is nice. Musical eye bath.
Oh.
Plays sailor with the navy blue eyes. Got girls in every portion of you hanging around like five.
Yes, stop it.
You don't like my singing, do you?
Not really.
You're jealous. Always been jealous of my talent.
Shut up.
Yes, too much tongue like a blood poisoning.
He only does the auditions.
You were saying?
Yes, to return to our mouton.
Yes. Mm.
That's your actual French for mutton.
Could have fooled me.
No, seriously. Now, what about a nice set of miniatures?
Miniature what?
I don't know, they're too small to tell.
Here, though. I tell you what, Jewel could do you a nice pot.
Oh, yes.
Now he makes them himself, you know. He's all hand thrown. Thrown. Oh, he can do things with a lump of clay. Here. Make your eyeballs come out on stalks. Look at this here. Look at this he made.
What's that on it? A souvenir of Marrakesh. It's extremely curious.
Well, in Marrakesh, you had some experiences that were extremely curious.
Yeah, watch it. Don't you dare, you promised. No. I know.
Yes.
How about something patriotic?
We've got hundreds of things, Mr. Orr, with a patriotic motif. There's your Union Jack jockey shorts with I'm back in Britain emblazoned in the most appropriate places. We got a whole range of articles emblazoned with Union Jack and I'm back in Britain stamped all over them, and none of them cost more than a shilling.
How come they're so cheap?
They're simple, Ducky. They're all made in Japan.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show, except for this week's motto. He who hesitates is Eamon Andrews. It looks nice in poker work. Cheerio.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Peddick, and Betty Marsden. Music was by the Max Harris Group, and the script was by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook, and Donald Webster. The program was produced by John Simmons.